The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Taco Tuesday edition, the Setting Kampali Taqueria, East Brady Street, Milwaukee, like the good old days we used to broadcast down here on Brady and Dom. Of course, that little sideshow up the street, the RNC MKE 2024 little political convention in town. But we're doing tacos and tequila because it is Tuesday, sir.
It is, and thank you for listening. Thank you, Rich, working the board. You can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789, or you can come down to East Brady Street, come and hang out with the Devil's Advocates. We will be here for the next several hours. Maggie Dawn, our friend, also a host in her own right, she's going to join us at 5 o'clock as well. The breaking news out of Milwaukee, a little bit more coming through here. As reported, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, an officer shoots and kills a person in Milwaukee outside of the RNC perimeter. They are saying that a gentleman who lived in a tent encampment known by the nickname Jehovah was shot and killed by Columbus, Ohio police officers. As more information comes, we will let you know. This happened on Fleet and 14th.
We did have a conversation with our friend, and he is a lifelong Milwaukee resident, Earl Ingram. Earl Ingram gave a little more information than that. He had claimed that there was a knife fight, or someone had drawn a knife, and this was the instigating circumstance. But hundreds of cops in the park to deal with this circumstance. And above and beyond that, there are thousands of cops here in Milwaukee with not a hell of a lot to do except maybe what? Police a homeless fight, perhaps.
According to the Journal Sentinel, more than 100 officers on bicycles, horses, and on foot are visible at the scene. A van labeled as belonging to the city of Columbus was also parked nearby. The Milwaukee County DA, John Chisholm, is also on location.
Above and beyond that, Dom, national headline, this one, a bit of a shocker. Apparently, there is intel that the Iranians are plotting to assassinate Donald Trump. And this intel had led the Secret Service to increase Trump's security recently. And yet there was still an assassination attempt that was nearly successful over the weekend. Fox News, my source here. The U.S. Secret Service has increased protection of former President Trump in recent weeks due to intelligence suggesting a possible plot by Iran in an attempt to assassinate the former president. Now, two federal law enforcement sources told Fox News the level of the plot by Iran is unclear. And the sources said there had been an increase in Secret Service protection to Trump in recent weeks because of the intelligence. The Department of Homeland Security and Secret Service have been increasingly concerned about Trump's holding outdoor events and have even expressed concern to Trump's campaign. Trump has been increasingly targeted since Soleimani's killing in January of 2020, but the new threat only developed over the past few days. The sources said the Iranian plot is not connected in any way to the attempted assassination of Trump by Thomas Crooks, the 20-year-old Pennsylvanian man that climbed up on a roof and took some pot shots at the former president. Apparently, hitting his ear.
Wow. New York Times also reporting the Trump campaign was told about the Iranian threat not long before Saturday's shooting, according to two people. Although it was not clear whether the former president himself was informed, the intelligence that prompted the warning was new but consistent with previous threat information, according to U.S. officials. The intensifying campaign season with increasing public rallies offered more opportunities for an attack. One national security official said that although the threat was taken seriously, it did not appear from the intelligence to be fully developed. The Iranian threat, as you mentioned, comes from the taking out the strike ordered by Trump in January of 2020 that killed Major General Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian security intelligence commander responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American troops in Iraq over the years. Reported Iranian threats against Trump administration officials like Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, and Bolton, the former National Security Advisor, resulted in government security details even after they left office.
Here was another intriguing headline I saw at the Washington Post earlier today. Police snipers, now this referencing the assassination attempt on Trump over the weekend, police snipers were inside the building as the Trump rally shooter fired from the roof above.
Why? It's just insanity.
The revelation adds to a growing list of questions about the security arrangement outside the Pennsylvania rally's perimeter. Again, this coming from the Washington Post. I'm going to throw this out for your consideration, fair audience. Local police who were assigned by the Secret Service to help spot threats in the crowd at Donald Trump's rally Saturday were inside the building where a gunman had positioned himself on the roof to shoot at the former president, according to the Secret Service in an official brief on the incident. From inside the AGR International Building, they spotted a man acting furtively, walking back and forth around the building with some gear and radioed a Secret Service command post to alert them, the official said. The revelations add to a growing list of conditions and questions about the Secret Service plan for securing areas outside the perimeter and about the failure of law enforcement to act quickly enough on multiple early warnings of suspicious activity. The Washington Post reported in a video analysis Monday that bystanders at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, warned local police that they had seen a man clambering on the roof of the building. A video posted to social media shows one man shouting, "Officer, officer," as others point towards the building. "He's on a roof," the woman says. The account from the Secret Service officials also underscores emerging tensions between that agency and local authorities over who is to blame for the fact the gunman was able to access a clear view of the event. The Secret Service was responsible for overall security plan, but the agency has said it relied on local law enforcement areas outside the security perimeter. The AGR building was not inside the perimeter, which required members of the public to pass through a metal detector before entering, Dom. Similar to green zone uptown.
I mean, you have a rifle that can shoot, I don't know, how many yards?
You know, 300 yards accurately at minimum.
So
AR-50.
Wouldn't that be, I don't know, call that the security perimeter? And this was, 140 away?
Well, and there are perhaps more accurate sniper rifles. But, yeah, man, you'd want to clear a half a mile, I think, at least. At least. And I've heard it speculated. You know, this was not a 1,000-foot shot from some sniper from some hidden rooftop location, and the guy had been sleeping there for 3 days to stake out the spot.
Yeah,
I mean, this kid's walking around the building with the cops inside, furtively, as it's being described by the Washington Post coverage, and effectively climbed the building in plain view of the public. A cop goes up the ladder, descends the ladder, apparently in fear for his life, and the guy pops off shots at Trump and damn near changes the course of history.
A Secret Service official said the sniper team inside the building was from Beaver County, which neighbors Butler County, where Saturday's rally took place. Local authorities said it was common for SWAT teams in nearby counties to supplement security for large events throughout western Pennsylvania. The Beaver County DA's office confirmed that a SWAT team from the county was at Saturday's rally, but declined to release additional information, pointing to ongoing investigations. In a written statement, the county DA said, "We're proud of the heroic actions taken by our officers." Now, Richard Goldinger, the Butler County DA, said in this interview that the SWAT teams from his jurisdiction were all inside the secure perimeter. Secret Service was in charge, and so it was their responsibility to make sure that the venue and the surrounding area was secure. That's common sense. I think that's their job. He added, for them to blame local law enforcement is them passing the blame when they hold the blame, in my opinion. A lot of finger-pointing going on right now.
Well, somebody is to blame. And a guy crawled up on a roof and took several shots at the former president. And again, I didn't want to see this occur, Dom. This would be a terrible leap-off point in history. If could lead to civil war. Of course, nobody wants this, right? And there was already credible threats, apparently, being reported by Fox News and others that the Trump team was aware. Now, the Trump team has some say over the venues that they choose for their candidate.
Certainly.
You may not want to put your guy out there at a trailer park location, if you know what I'm saying, an industrial park where you can control the perimeter itself, but outside that direct perimeter, 150 yards, 120 yards, you got other buildings not being controlled, rooftops. Yeah, I think this...
That's a failure in any way you look at it. Yes, by everyone. The locals and the Secret Service.
And here's the problematic part. Of course, Trump being the target of this, it gives license to every conspiracy theorist on the right to say this is the deep state. That's what this is. This was a plot. This was, you know, the Secret Service creating vulnerabilities. And now you're going to trust the FBI to investigate the same FBI that wanted to kill Trump at Mar-a-Lago, according to Trump, when they executed the search warrants.
Although the same warrant had the same boilerplate on it when they executed it on Biden's residence.
Yeah, but it doesn't spin as well into a conspiracy theory when you base it in fact, Tom.
Well, lots of questions to be answered. We are not in charge of those investigations, so we will report them as they come to us. Also, Senator Bob Menendez, guilty, guilty, guilty on all charges. We'll get into that as well as your phone calls live from Kampali on East Brady Street, about a mile from the RNC. There's parking, there's food, the bar is open. Come on and join us on the lines. Talk or text as well, 844-967-2789. Oh, happy days.
The big and tall of political talk, the devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we're getting ready for some tequila and some tacos. It is Taco Tuesday. We are at Kampali Taqueria right here on Brady Street. And yesterday I made the walk back and forth down to the RNC. It's maybe a 15-minute walk down Brady, down to water.
Just over a mile.
Not so bad. Yeah, not so bad. But you can come on down, and the parking's still available. And this party's just getting started, Dom. But Joe Biden is addressing currently, and I believe Rich is ready to help us play some of the sound. I just saw breaking news this coming from the Washington Post. Biden set to announce support for major changes to the Supreme Court. He is currently speaking to the NAACP convention. Rich, if we're able, let's play the president. Joe Biden, bring it up for the people.
Guess what? Mom or dad can work. The shop is safe. We're connecting black neighborhoods. They're cut off from old highways and disinvestment decades ago. My city, Wilmington, Delaware, I-95 runs up through what used to be the black community, divided, six lanes wide. We're going to make sure that the states wanted, we're going to be able to pave over the top of that and still have the highway. Connecting neighborhoods. We're removing the which is costly. Every poisonous lead pipe in the house in America so every child can drink clean water. Not for a brain damage. We're delivering high-speed and affordable broadband. No child should have to sit out in the parking lot with the bombs in front of McDonald's so they can get online and do their homework. And because of you, not only protecting Obamacare, you allow me to increase it, making health care more affordable, and by the way, more than it's ever been. Millions of African Americans have health care because of it. We're putting home ownership within reach. How do you generate generational wealth, no matter what community you're from? I don't know how we did it when everything got stuck in Scranton with no jobs. Moved to Delaware. Dad worked like hell to get down payment to buy a small house. That's how you build equity. As small as a three-bedroom split-level home with four kids and grandpa members, but it was a home, and he was able to build some equity. Look, we're making the most significant investment in climate ever in all of history. Including most significant action in environmental justice ever. Look, folks, think about this. My state of Delaware, not many of you don't know my state. My state of Delaware has a Delaware River runs up on Jack. But at the top of the state, there's a half moon, and it comes up along more oil refineries on the other side of that half moon in market funded areas than anywhere in the country, including Houston. Guess what? Wind blows. Southeast. We had the highest cancer rate for the longest time. But you know who's affected? Fence line communities. You know the fence line communities are black communities. I promise you, as we make this legislation work, we're going to take care of those communities first. I mean it. Same way in Louisiana, same way in other places. Look, we received student debt. More than 4 million borrowers. Significant amount of black borrowers. I don't know how many have called me. Say, Mr. President, I've got phone numbers, I've called them back. Mr. President, thank you. Couldn't get married. The debt was so large. Couldn't have children. Couldn't think of it. I'm sure you know it. Couldn't buy a home. But what you did, you freed me of my debt. And you gave me $10,000 for a down payment in a home. This project, 2024, 2025 Trump deal. You know he talks about education. HBCUs are as good as any other university. Guess what? Not a joke, but Kamala and I have a constant fight. She says Howard's the best, I say Delaware State's the best. That's where I got my start. But my point is this, they don't have the endowment. So what are the jobs in the future, the high-tech jobs in the future, they pay a lot of money. They don't have the money for the laboratories. They don't have the money for all that material. So that's why I've invested a graduate record, $16 billion in HBCU. No HBCU student has had this close out of this than anywhere else. By the way, making sure that no one goes to jail for the mere use or possession of marijuana. The record should be expunged. Hold them back. All told because of you. NAACP, making the most significant investments in black America ever in all of history. We see the results. The racial wealth gap is the lowest it's been in 20 years. Inflation is down. In 3 years, we're coming down further, and we're going to have, as they say, a soft landing. Folks, you're going to see us grow faster and faster. That's not just my view. It's a view of 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists who put out a statement. Looking at my economic plan and Trump's, is that my plan will continue to lower inflation. continue to grow the economy. Prices are falling. Cars, appliances, groceries. We're going to keep corporate greed at bay. But here's the thing, what they said about Trump. They said his policies will cause a recession. Oh, this is not a Democratic conflict. 16 Nobel laureates. Look, I come from the corporate state of the world, Delaware. I know how they work. There's more corporations incorporated in my state than any state in America, all combined. That's what? We have to deal with corporate greed now. Oh, it is. Corporate profits are double since the pandemic. They keep bringing prices. Now we have to bring prices down further. Look, folks, the idea.
You're listening to President Joe Biden at the NAACP convention. We are the Devil's Advocates. We are live in Milwaukee. The occasion, the RNC MKE 2024, and a party down here at the Kampali Taqueria. Join us here. It's Taco Tuesday, everyone.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live in Milwaukee, Kampali Taqueria. East Brady Street, the party's just getting started up in here. We got a fine guest joining us soon. Maggie Dawn, attorney at law, host of the Maggie Dawn Show. I see she's outside enjoying the weather still. She'll come inside for the 5 o'clock happier hour. It is the happy hour here, man.
And it is a glorious down here on Brady Street, east side in Milwaukee. We can also take your calls at 844-967-2789. President Biden speaking at the NAACP convention as we speak. He also spoke with Lester Holt last night. Crudy, we have some sound of that. We'll bring it to you as well.
Rich, when you're ready, we're going to play some of the interview, Lester Holt, with Joe Biden. And the one complaint I did hear, and this came from Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough, very salty about the fact that Lester Holt didn't give any context to the question. Joe Biden, you said you put a target on his back. Well, but the context was that was in a private fundraiser. That was not in a public statement, as Trump has often done. And when not offered proper context, it seems like relativism.
It seems worse.
Well, it seems like both sides do it. Everybody's got this heated rhetoric, and I don't think that's entirely accurate. I think one side does it a lot more than the other side does it. But anyways, Rich, with your cooperation and assistance, let's play for the people. Here is President Joe Biden on Lester Holt last night, played out on NBC.
How do you talk about the threat to democracy, which is real, when a president says things like he says? Do you just not say anything because it may incite somebody? Look, I've not engaged in that rhetoric. Now, my opponent is engaged in that rhetoric. He talks about there'll be a bloodbath if he loses, talking about how he's going to forgive all the, suspend the sentences of all those who were arrested and sentenced to go to jail because of what happened in the Capitol. I'm not out there making fun of, like, when, remember the picture of Donald Trump when Nancy Pelosi's husband was hit with a hammer, joking about it?
Yes.
Yeah, I do recall, yes, unfortunately. And that's one of the things that you go to in these situations, at least I do in my mind when I hear the rhetoric and you see what happened. Oh, you know, you got to tone it down. Everyone's got to tone it down. The internet is alive forever, man. You know, things Trump said, things that he tweeted out with regard to Paul Pelosi have been terrible, not just him, but also some of his mega supporters as well.
We do have one more of the cuts, I believe, Lester Holt, NBC, last night with Joe Biden. Again, didn't really set context for his audience, but we always try to set it for you.
We do our best.
Play it for the people if you'd be so kind, Rich.
You appeared to be confused.
Lester, look. Why don't you guys ever talk about the 18, the 28 lies he told? Where are you on this? Why didn't the press ever talk about that? 28 times it's confirmed he lied in that debate. I had a bad, bad night. I wasn't feeling well at all. And I had been, without it making it, I screwed up.
But I just asked a question because the idea that you may or may not have seen what some of these other folks have seen, you're not on the same.
I'd have to see. I was there. I'd have to see it. I was there. And by the way, seriously, you won't answer the question, but why didn't the press talk about all the lies he told? Well, I don't know anything about that.
We have reported many of the issues that came up during
haven't.
That debate.
No, you haven't.
We'll provide you with them.
God love you.
Well, you did a better job of taking on Lester Holt than perhaps Trump on the debate stage. Jennifer Rubin over at the Post makes an interesting point through her headline, Dom. Serious coverage of political violence has never been more critical. The media should re-embrace journalism's mission of informing the citizenry about vital issues. Well, that's us, Dom. Let's inform away.
The vital issues only.
Here's the who. Devil's advocates. Here's the what. Partying. Here's the where. Kampali Taqueria, you could be a part. Come on down. It is Taco Tuesday. When, right now, and why? Because you don't want to be at the RNC. You want to be at our party. But, anyways, back to the coverage at the Post. After the horrible assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump, Biden spoke eloquently Sunday about the need to lower the temperature, to renounce violence, and to engage in peaceful political debate, like Dom and I always do, always peaceful.
Always peaceful.
There's no place in America for this kind of violence, he implored viewers. We can't allow this violence to be normalized. It's time to cool it down, and we all have to have a responsibility to do that. He nevertheless stressed the need for vigorous debate.
Yes, always.
We're always down for that vigorous debate as well. Now, how do you say that one?
His admonition.
Admonition. I always say it in a different verb tense. His admonition might have been to politicians and voters, but the media should pay close attention as well. The constant focus on polling and predicting, we're guilty sometimes, oh, almost invariably incorrectly. That's more you than I.
Come on.
The implications of unprecedented events only makes the media look small. I know she's talking about you now. Unserious and irrelevant in a historic test of our democracy. Hysterical predictions and nonstop handicapping misunderstand the public's perception of politics. And she writes in parentheticals, hence such reports are often met with a yawn by the average voter and without any appreciable movement in the polls. Worse, such jabber crowds out essential coverage of genuine threats to democracy and the visions of the two parties. Well, only one party's even got a platform, Dom, as far as I can tell. Instead, the shooting at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, should prompt the media to raise the level of discourse and re-embrace the mission of journalism to inform the citizenry about critical issues. Grading Trump's speeches on style points and admiring his technique and playing the crowd as opposed to highlighting his efforts to subvert democratic norms does not help create an informed electorate. Rather, it conceals the essential case based on the record in the GOP's avowed policy aspirations that the campaign poses a danger to our constitutional system.
Informing the citizenry about critical issues, that's what we do. Rubin goes on to write, responsible media coverage should focus on several substantive topics. For starters, the shooting should be placed in the context of our intolerable gun culture. As former classmates of the shooter have noted, high school students live in fear of mass shootings by their peers. Hard questions about the shooter's access to a weapon of war, about age limits on such weapons, and yes, about Republican resistance to curbing access to such weapons should be a topic of coverage. Responsible media outlets should press Republicans to explain their insistence that all it takes to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Here, the shooting was not prevented by a slew of highly armed law enforcement officials. Second, Rubin writes, the press has an obligation to carefully probe the rise of political violence and the violent rhetoric that preceded this. On Sunday, Biden told Americans, quote, violence has never been the answer. Whether it's with members of Congress and both parties are being targeted, or a violent mob attacking the Capitol on January 6th, or a brutal attack on the spouse of a former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, or information and intimidation on election officials, or the kidnapping plot against a sitting governor, or an attempted assassination on Donald Trump, unquote. In the aftermath of the shooting, Rubin writes, many Republicans are pointing at the rhetoric of some Democrats in a clear effort to chill criticism of Trump's undermining of democracy.
Now, I heard Dan O'Donnell trying to make that case this morning. It's the Democrats. Yeah. We're the evil ones, always talking about gun rhetoric. I'm just saying, that's what he was talking
about. That's how right-wing talk radio was presenting it.
Yes.
Rubin goes out, right?
You're in Milwaukee, RNC week.
It is not appropriate. Indeed, it is essential to cover Trump and his supporters' actions and rhetoric preceding the shooting as well. The horrific nature of the shooting should not stand in the way of the media's examination of Trump's role in the degeneration of our political discourse. They should press him and fellow Republicans to explain and renounce talk of televised military tribunals for January 6th committee members and threats to execute the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Trump's newly announced running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, a Republican from Ohio, who on Saturday made the unsupported accusation that the shooting was, quote, not just some isolated event, should be scrutinized as well.
That's hardly ancient history. It's Tuesday.
No.
The man said it this weekend.
Third, the incident should refocus attention on the candidate's policy proposals. Yes, that'd be nice. Biden on Friday reissued his call for a ban on semi-automatic weapons. The Heritage Foundation's influential Project 2025 embraces ideas such as rounding up 11 million undocumented immigrants and using the military to quell dissent. What are the implications for public safety and domestic stability? Talk of retribution against enemies raises concern about the independence of prosecutors, something Trump upended in his first term. Demonizing the FBI certainly has had tragic consequences, as Attorney General Merrick Garland has pointed out. And finally, Rubin writes, the Secret Service deserves intense examination. Now under scrutiny for its worst security breach since 1981, attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan, the Secret Service is facing pressure to determine whether it failed to devote enough resources to the protection of a former president turned presumptive presidential nominee, the Post reports. Among the questions agency officials are seeking to answer, according to a senior official, is whether the agency suffered a critical breakdown in communications with local police in Butler, PA, who were assigned to secure the outer perimeter where the gunman positioned himself on the roof of a nearby building. As Carol Lenning has documented, a long history of scandals and screw-ups has plagued the Secret Service. After each incident, coverage fades and the media moves on. After a scandal of this magnitude, it is essential to keep our attention focused. Jennifer Rubin at the Post concludes, in short, this horrible accident should provide the opportunity for a media reset. A media reset, Crudy. Put aside the unhelpful, obsessive speculation about how the shooting might affect the election. Instead, focus with renewed intensity on guns, responsibility for political violence, the candidates' respective policy plans, and the deplorable state of our Secret Service. It's time for the media to raise its game and meet a moment of extreme crisis in our democracy. Rubin over at the Washington Post.
I do have a statement from the traveling pool with the White House. Joe Biden apparently took the stage at the NAACP today, and we played you some of that speech. He has now wrapped that speech to chance of four more years before the President of the United States spoke. A lineup of Biden administration officials took the stage to talk about the administration's agenda. Acting HUD Secretary Adrian Todman, Assistant Attorney General Christine Clark, Stephen K. Benjamin, senior advisor to the president, all spoke. Todman spoke about HUD's efforts to expand affordable housing and Clark about police accountability. As he hyped the crowd, Benjamin at one point brought out White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre to the stage. Many in the section closest to the stage stood and applauded. She did not speak. NAACP President Derek Johnson then spoke. He demanded police reform. He also spoke of the election. A quote, there has been much that has been accomplished for and by our community, Mr. Johnson. He also condemned Project 2025. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We are pro tacos and tequila. It is Tuesday. We are at Campale, and we want you to join us. The party's just starting to flush out, fill out, if you will, Tom. And the coverage that we offer, I think we should reset, Tom.
And yeah, happy hour is coming up soon.
Yeah, I know. That's where the tequila and the tacos come.
That's what I'm saying. We will reset. Come back with us. Maggie Don's going to join us at the top of the hour. We're going to get some of your phone calls next, 844-967-2789.
I also want to get Maggie Don's opinion. The Washington Post reporting at this hour, Biden set to announce support for a major change to the Supreme Court. The crowd is down for it.
Yes, yes.
Come back, more Devil's Advocates live from Campale. It's RNC MKE 2024, doing it right on Taco Tuesday.
And taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from Campale on Brady Street, east side of Milwaukee, about a mile from the RNC. You can join us here or you can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
And the story out of Milwaukee, the homeless man shot by Columbus, Ohio police. The story gets worse and worse, at least from my perspective, Dom. It wasn't one cop. It was five cops.
Five police officers from Columbus, Ohio, shot a man this afternoon just west of downtown, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 14th and Valet.
Glad I wasn't there for the crossfire, Dom.
Yeah, yeah.
When you got five cops shooting at one guy, they're bound to be a little crossfire. There was the other headline that we wanted to bring to your attention. The Washington Post breaking this story in the last hour, Dom. President Joe Biden set to announce support for major Supreme Court changes. Plans include proposals for legislation to establish term limits for justices.
Term limits.
And an enforceable ethics code. Say it ain't so, Joe. President Biden is finalizing plans to endorse major changes to the Supreme Court in coming weeks, including proposals for legislation to establish term limits for the justices and an enforceable ethics code. That one seems, you know, necessary.
Seems very minimal. That's great. How about expanding the court? But please continue.
According to two people briefed on the plans, he is also weighing whether to call for a constitutional amendment to eliminate broad immunity for presidents and other constitutional office holders. The people said, speaking on the condition of anonymity to discuss private deliberations, the announcement would mark a major shift for Biden, a former chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who has long resisted calls to reform the high court. The potential changes come in response to growing outrage amongst his supporters about recent ethics scandals surrounding Justice Clarence Thomas and decisions by the new court majority that have changed legal precedent on issues including abortion and federal regulatory powers. Let me point out to you folks, I'm going to interrupt myself here.
Okay.
Bob Menendez convicted of corruption today.
Yes.
$490,000 in 13 gold bars and a down payment on a Mercedes-Benz. That's about a tenth of what Clarence Thomas received from his grandiose givers.
I got rich friends.
How is it corrupt when the U.S. Senator does it, but a Supreme Court justice gets 10 times the same amount of money?
And no biggie.
And, you know, why recuse? Why set anything aside?
Many, if not all, of the changes would probably need congressional approval. The details of Biden's considered policies have not been disclosed. But, hell, at least he's thinking about it, folks. 844-967-2789. 2789. Let's get a couple of callers in before Maggie Dawn joins us in the Happier Happy Hour. John from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. You are up, John. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, John.
Hey, great show. What Rojo did was pretty much what they call in soccer own goal. He just opened his mouth and put his foot right in it. The other question I have is, what's up? Where's Mike Pence? I thought he was the vice president. Trump's big guy. Where's Mike Pence?
Where is Mike Pence?
John, he's just hanging out, John.
That's a great question. Where's Mrs. Trump? Where's Melania?
Yeah. Melania was not at the RNC. She's not a big fan. She hears Milwaukee's a horrible city, Dom.
Oh, it's a great city. Mark from the SAC, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, it's clear to me that too many of the Republican Party, they've forgotten that they're both of fealty is to the Constitution of the United States and the people of the United States, not to the to their orange messiah.
I mean, Mark.
It is just deeply disturbing that, you know, J.D. Vance has actually come out and said, I would have overturned the election. I mean, that should just be immediately disqualifying.
You got to assume that that's exactly
why he jumped to the top of the list.
That's what Trump wants to hear, man. You can't have a guy, like our last caller just said, where's Mike Pence been? Well, he is persona non grata. This is no longer the grand old party. This is no longer the Republican Party, Mark. This is now the mega party. And the reason he got that job, because he would absolutely do that. Thanks for the call, buddy. 844-967-2789. Rich, I think we have some sound, if I recall, of J.D. Vance. He said some things a few years ago about, you know, women staying in violent marriages. I want to throw this one out before Maggie gets on the line here because she's got something to say about it, folks. This is now your new VP candidate for the mega ticket, if you would please, Rich.
And this is one of the great tricks that I think the sexual revolution pulled on the American populace, which is this idea that, like, well, okay, these marriages were fundamentally, you know, they were maybe even violent, but certainly they were unhappy. And so getting rid of them and making it easier for people to shift spouses like they change their underwear, that's going to make people happier in the long term. And maybe it worked out for the moms and dads, though I'm skeptical, but it really didn't work out for the kids of those marriages. And I think that's what all of us...
Wow.
Are the children of abusive marriages, aren't they the ones that keep the therapeutic industry in business?
According to J.D. Vance, you know, stay in a violent marriage because that's what he wants you to do. It's the only way to do it because, you know, God or whatever. Unbelievable, terrible advice from now your Republican candidate for vice president.
You know, Dom, sometimes you get a little abusive with me, but... I just assume it's you being hangry. I think it's time for tacos.
Yes.
I think it's time for tequila. And I absolutely know it's time for a fine guest. She is attorney Maggie Dawn, broadcaster extraordinaire, two-time WBA award winner. I don't have no crystal trophies. I didn't even see it until I snuck in her office one day. Come on back. More Devil's Advocates live in Milwaukee, Kapali Taqueria. You can join us. It's taco and tequila time.